Quick summary of last week. Is that it? Quick summary of last week. We learned that Boaz had a meal for Ruth. Remember, this foreign young girl is going to any farm to just glean, get a meal for her and her fa or her mother-in-law. And instead, she gets into this farm or this field of Boaz. He gets to meet her. He notices her. None of this is a coincidence. This is God's divine plans, you know. And she keeps working, and he heard the good report about her. And during lunchtime, he had a meal for her. And that reminds all of us that God has a meal for us. God has something for us. Every time you spend time with God, every time you open your word, every time you come to a meeting, just expect to be fed. Because if Boaz was generous with Ruth, how much do you think your Lord and my Lord is going to be generous with us? Okay? I guarantee you, he's got something specific for that thirst, something specific for that hunger, something specific for that need. You know, so he feeds her, and then she keeps working because Boaz sent a recommendation letter about her. You know, after this great experience with Boaz, it doesn't mean that we're done. It means that, yes, we received the grace of God. The grace of God doesn't tell us to just sit and relax and God will do everything for us. No, grace teaches us that we work. Now we are actually free to work. Before, we were bound in the chains of the enemy, that we were only working for him, we were only doing his will. God and Jesus came to set us free with his grace, with his blood. Now there are no more shackles on your feet or on your hand. It means that we can get up and work, that we can get up and continue working. And we see that Ruth worked all the way until the evening, not only gleaning, but she also did the threshing of the wheat. That means she wanted to prepare it. She didn't want to take a huge amount of everything. She wanted to get to the main thing. She wanted to get to these seeds that will feed her and will feed her mother-in-law. Instead of picking up one meal, she ended up getting about 35 pounds. And that's something heavy to carry home. But that's what sharing grace is like. Sharing grace is not cheap. Sharing grace is not easy. Sharing grace is going to probably cost you something and cost me something. It's probably going to cost you some time with the family. It's probably going to cost you some time of sleep. It's probably going to cost you some physical effort or some financial effort or whatever it is. But that's what sharing grace is like. She made sure she took out of all that abundance that she had and she took it to her mother-in-law and she shared what happened with her. Today, we pick it up at verse 19 and we'll start with Bina.
Okay, verse 19 says, her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. Okay, a couple of reminders along with our summary here. Is that we're dealing with two, remember, we're dealing with two things that are happening simultaneously. We're dealing with the reality of the actual situation. So the scripture is telling us the history of what happened, what truly happened with the man of Boaz, the woman of Ruth, and Naomi, and their story. We're being their story, their actual story is being explained. That's number one. But number two, remember what's also happening. Is that there's literary symbolism here. There's literary symbolism. Remember, Boaz is really a symbol for Jesus, and Ruth is a symbol for the believer, you and me. And actually, in this scripture, we can really see that the barley or the grain that's being harvested is symbol for grace, for God's grace on our life. So there's the actual thing that's happening, and then there's this sort of metaphorical thing that's happening. And so when we're talking a lot about Boaz and Ruth and these instances that they're having together, it really is a very clear light to us of what our relationship, our redemptive story is like with the Lord. And so here in verse 19, here comes Ruth after a day where she was, remember, Naomi left her. She was supposed to be gleaning from the outside perimeter, right? She was gleaning. She was going to be harvesting just like the poor harvest, you know, pick up a few stalks of barley that are left on the outside perimeters, usually not the heavy, meaty barley that's left. It's going to be the weak stuff that's left on the outside, just enough maybe to get you a meal. Because once you thrash it, maybe what you get out of that barley is about a meal. And here she comes walking up to her with, as Asam said, 35 pounds of barley. Enough barley, enough barley for 5 days for two people to eat. This is unbelievable. She knew. So when Naomi sees Ruth coming in, she says to her, her first question is, where did you glean today? I mean, what happened is what she wants to say. How is it possible that what you're bringing is here? And the grace is so evident here. The grace is so evident. It's clear to Naomi one thing and one thing only. She was not gleaning on the outskirts, was she? She was gleaning dead center, right in the inner circle of the harvesting. That's where Ruth stayed. And that's where you and I belong. We belong right in the middle, in the inner circle, where we are closest to the work of God, where we are closest to the things that God has for us. And what happens at that point is abundant grace overflows you and I, and it becomes evident to other people. You see, grace is a byproduct of our faith. It's a natural byproduct of our faith. It's what comes when we draw close to Jesus. It's what comes when we work in that inner circle, among the harvesters, among his people, among the closest spaces to him. That's when the grace flows abundantly on our life. And that's what Naomi saw. You know, if Ruth had come up to her with a little handful of barley, she would have known. Ruth did her best. She gleaned from the outside perimeter like the poor do. But no, this was someone who harvested right at the center, was close to Boaz. It's recognized when you and I are close to the Lord, other people will see it.
Amen. You know, this reminds me of, by the way, I titled this verse as the provoking grace. You know, when something that is so evident in your life that provokes others, that gets others noticing, that it inspires others. You know, when Moses went up to those mountains, what happened to hear from God? What happened to him? And he came down. What was happening to him? He was shining. The skin on his face was absolutely shining. He came down. The people of Israel didn't say a word, because they're like, okay, I see something different here. I can see that God is doing something in your life because of that shine. Ruth, after a whole day of hard work, after all of this, it's not easy, guys. Have you ever been to a farm before during harvest? Any of you? City people. I have. So it is not easy. Really, it is not easy. You are covered with dust, you are covered with the ashes from the barley, from the threshing, you're sweating. It's not an easy day for anyone. But here is Ruth coming, holding this in such a great mood. This is what provoking grace looks like. This is when the grace of God is so evident in your life that makes people take notes. You know, the Bible said that people will hear your good messages and glorify your God, your Father is in heaven, right?
Yes.
Or no, it did not. Not paying attention. It says they will see your good work. Yes. You know, the work of Ruth made Naomi realize something happened here. Something amazing happened, you know? And the amount of work, let me just tell you, the amount of work, the amount of time we put with Boaz, the amount of work and amount of time we put in the Word of God, we put it in our on our knees praying, the amount of work we spend, you know, it will show up to other people. Not to glorify us, but it will show up to other people. I just came back from playing basketball for about 2 or 3 hours, you know, with kids that are half my age, and all of them know Elijah, right? They couldn't believe that I was his father, because I can run circles all around all of them. I'm faster than all of them. I'm not kidding, Sid. I'm not being prideful or anything, but I put in work every morning. I work out for 2 hours.
Yeah, he was hobbling when he walked in.
True, true. That was true. But I put in the work in the morning, right?
That's right, you do.
2 hours every morning. These kids don't put in as much work as I do. It's evident. So, Ruth.
So is the humility.
Absolutely. I am writing a book on how to be the most humble man. Anyway, after Bible study, we'll discuss my book. So we see here that Naomi noticed something. And let me tell you, and then that made her ask that question, you know, Ruth, I know you're good. You know, I know you're great. But who is the man, or what happened? What led you to this great day? I know you're good. I know you're great. You know, but how did this happen? And my prayer, and my prayer for myself, and my prayer for all of us, that our actions would let people, provoke people, that they would ask, you know, what is behind this? What is behind the peace you have on your face? What is behind the marriage you have? What is behind the family that you guys have? What is behind the smile that's on your face? What is behind that? Because everyone around us doesn't look that way, doesn't act that way. What is behind the kindness you're showing to others? See, and then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. Remember, right here, we see Ruth, the Moabite, talking to Naomi, the Jewish person who's related to Boaz. About who? About Boaz. When Naomi and her family left Israel, they did not think of Boaz. When Naomi lost everything in the land of Moabite and she was telling her daughters-in-law not to come back with her, she did not think of Boaz. When Naomi returned to Israel with Ruth, and people welcomed her, and she said, no, do not call me Naomi, call me Mora, she did not think of Boaz. Boaz was nowhere in her mind or her calculations. Now we see Ruth bringing Boaz to Naomi's life to remind her that this man is related to you. This is a reminder, and don't be surprised as Christians, okay? If you get a reminder about God from people that don't even know God, don't be surprised that sometimes we get our reminders from sources that we never expect, because God will keep speaking to you and to me. Amen. Even during the bitterness we are going through, even during the hard times we are going through, God will remind us of how close he is to us.
Verse 20, it says, the Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, this man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Okay, Naomi, as we found, does not really lean towards like peppiness and positivity, right? She kind of seems more a little bit, you know, heavy-hearted at times. And now, granted, she lost a lot. I'm not coming down on her, but she definitely doesn't lean towards like this spirit of faith. And here we see that Ruth's what happened to Ruth really provoked her, as Assam said, to not only see the grace that God had given her, but really kind of gave her a different perspective or outlook on her situation, which was incredible. And she speaks of Boaz about not withholding this his kindness from the living or from the dead. Why does she refer to the dead? We have to assume that she's speaking of her husband who had died, right? So Boaz, she's saying, is not only honoring us who are alive right now, his actions towards you are actually honoring those who have died, my husband and my sons who have died, because he's related to them. So that's sort of what's happening in terms of like why she says this.
It's also very refreshing to see Naomi. Like, again, this is that provoking grace. This is like, now grace is in the room. You know, grace is in the room. When our daughter Grace is in the room, you will know she's in the room.
Yes.
Really, you will know she's in the room. She does not stop talking. Her joy, her innocence, her smile fills up the place. Now we have grace filling up the room. So Naomi now is not talking negatively about God. We see her here saying, the Lord bless him, right? And she says something that truly can be a message for messages for many weeks. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. Can I just replace right now the name Boaz with Jesus? And can I replace any name right now with you and me? That God has not stopped his kindness to us, to the living, to us as we're living. And if we have anyone in our family that died that worshiped God and say that served God, you know, I believe with all of my heart, my father's prayers and my mother's prayers are not wasted or never wasted. You know, they loved God, they followed God, their prayers and the amount of work they put in prayers, it's not wasted. But our God, our Jesus, can we share this? Can we write it somewhere that he has not stopped showing his kindness? God has not stopped showing his kindness. I know that the enemy is going to try to bring every negative scenario and every negative situation in front of you right now. And you might ask, where is God's kindness? I was meeting with a client this last Saturday. She is from Ukraine. So I was talking to her. I was like, how's the family back home? Anyone in danger? Anyone suffering? And she goes, well, no, my family is far from the war, but, you know, the rest of the people are suffering. And I was like, you know, well, let me know if there is anything we can do. I'm praying, and we're praying constantly for you guys and for your family. And she says something that was really, I don't know, something really strange for me to hear. She said, well, everyone is praying. The problem is no one is listening. She said, I know everyone is praying, but no one is listening. And in about 5 minutes, I shared with her what we have gone through. I was like, Daria, we were inches away from death. My family and myself, our house was going to get burned down while we were inside of it. And we were inches away. And my father was on his knees praying in the living room outside, like all the way by the main door. And he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't even go inside. He was praying, and he was on his knees praying. And God answered his prayer. I told her, I can sit here and share with you hundreds and hundreds of situations where God saved me at the last second, where I was so close to death or so close to do something that would destroy my life. God is always listening. God is always listening, but we just need to pray. God has not stopped showing his kindness. You know, she said, well, I'm going to believe it because I believe you. I was like, no, just believe it because God is God, not because of me. I was like, just try it. Give it a shot. You know, didn't want to go any further, but I just lifted at that. But a lot of people out there thinking that God stopped showing his kindness. Let me tell you, if God stopped showing his kindness, none of us would be here. Because the enemy's plans are what? To kill, steal, and destroy. Do you think you have that breath that you have right now? Do you think you have that roof on top of your head, that clothes on your, on your body, or that the health you have or the jobs you have because you're good at it? No. Because if it wasn't for God showing his kindness to you and to me, we wouldn't have any of it. Boaz has not stopped showing kindness. God has not stopped showing kindness. I know it's so hard for us to see that. I know it's so hard for us to see that, especially when we're going through the fire. Trust me, we've been through enough fire that we thought during those times, God is not really here for us. But I look back and I say, Lord, forgive me for those moments. Because not you were just there. You were carrying us right there. And this was just important step in our life to get rid of who we are and to increase who you are in us. To increase your plans. God has not stopped showing his kindness to us. Death can try to stop his kindness, but it won't succeed. Circumstances can try to stop his kindness, but it won't succeed. Distance, even go and pick up and leave and try to stop your father from calling you son, it will not succeed. As soon as you come back, you are his son, and I am his son, and you are his daughter, and he will not get rid of that. This message is truly for all of us. This message should give ease to our hearts and comfort to our hearts that God has not stopped his kindness to us. Okay, take that promise today. Sorry if I'm sounding preachy and this is supposed to be a Bible study, but take that promise, because when I read it, I needed it today. I truly needed it today. You know, I needed to hear that God does not stop his kindness to any of us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything that I did? Is there anything that the enemy did? Is there anything that the flesh did can separate us from his love? Absolutely not. He decided to still step down and walk this earth and die on the cross for you and for me. Not only that Boaz hasn't stopped his kindness to you, but that man is a close relative. You know that what that means? That he is closer to you than you ever thought. He is closer. He is just as close as one prayer. Truly, he's as close as one prayer. Not only that he hasn't stopped his kindness, not only that he's very close to you, but he is also one of your guardian redeemers. You know what guardian redeemers are? If you read about it in the Old Testament, the kinsman redeemer or the guardian redeemer is a male relative. I'm reading you the definition, who, according to various laws, that had the privilege or responsibility to act on the behalf of a relative who is in trouble, who is in danger, or in need. That is his job. That when you are in trouble, when you are in danger, when you are in need, your guardian redeemer is there for you.
Amen.
Boaz is one of, and we will see later that he is the one that will step up and take that role because the other person couldn't. So while the law couldn't take that role of being our redeemer, Jesus stepped in by his cross, paid for our sins, brought us to the Father holy and blameless. And he is your guardian redeemer. If you're in trouble today, your guardian redeemer is as close as one prayer away. He's not too far. He's your close relative. Okay? If you're in pain, your guardian redeemer is right there. If you're in trouble, if you're in danger, if you're in need, your guardian redeemer is right there. 21.
Verse 21, then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.
Boaz earlier told Ruth to stay with the women and not to go to another field. Sometimes we get very excited about an experience we have with God. Sometimes we get excited about miracles that God do in our life, and we forget to stay with his word. You know, Jesus did something very interesting about some of the villages and some of the cities that he did most of his miracles. You know what did he said? He said he didn't trust himself with them. You know why? Because they were just about the excitement. They were about the lights and the highlights and the big musical bands. And like, you know, they just wanted excitement, excitement, excitement all the time. They're forgetting about the word of God. See, Ruth here brought 35 pounds and the leftovers, a great day of success, but she did not forget Boaz's words. My prayer for us, God is going to do a miracle in your life. God has done miracles in your life. I know every single one of us can share testimonies where God did something amazing and miraculous in your life. True, right? Yes. I can share so many stories with you, what God did in our life. But what's important, it's great to receive the miracle and to be thankful for it. But it's very, very important to go back to the word of God and remember what he said to us. He said, work with me. He said, stay with me. He said, follow the women in my field. He said, don't go somewhere else. How are we treating the word of God in the time of excitement, in the time of victory, is so important, just as important as we treat it during the time of need.
Verse 22. It says, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. We see here Naomi agreeing with Boaz. Remember back in verse 8 and 9, when we went over this, what were Boaz's instructions? Part of his instructions for Ruth were, do not go glean in another field. And we talked about that. And we talked about really how this is a symbol of the Lord saying to us, don't steer away to the world and to the things of this world. Don't be tempted to go to another. And Naomi agrees with Boaz because Naomi knows, guess who went to glean in another field, quote unquote? Naomi did. Remember, they left Israel and went to Moab. And so Naomi is now speaking from her experience, recognizing something that Boaz said that rang true to her, rang true in her heart. And she's saying, yes, I agree. Can we all agree that what God gives us is the best we can have? We need to come to that agreement about our life, because I think a lot of times we look, you know, we look at the other fields, you know, we're like, hey, well, I don't know, that looks kind of good. Be nice to have that. Be nice to be there, like what they're doing. It just seems like life is a little bit easier for them because they're in another field. And the truth is that there is no safer place, no more protected place, and no more perfect place that we can be than in the middle, right by Boaz, as close as we can get to him, as close as we can be to him. Naomi knows it because she left the field, and she suffered because she left the field. And she's saying, here we are, you're right, Ruth, you're right, he's right, don't go to another field.
And we've got to be careful, because sometimes we might see other fields. Other fields might seem a little bit closer, might be an easier distance, might be more attractive, might be full of a younger crowd that looks like me. Whatever it is, other fields are going to show up. The enemy has no shortage of distracting us from God and from or from the plans that God has for us. Boaz told Ruth, come to this field. You know, God is telling us, come to this field, come to my word, come to my relationship with me, come to, you know, walk with me so you can see my will for you. And the enemy is always going to throw distractions at all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, if it's been a month or it's been 60 years. It doesn't matter. The enemy is always going to try to distract us, but we must stick to the word of God. Please read the word of God and stick with it. Miracles are great. I'm going to keep saying that. Miracles are great. Great testimonies are great. When God shows himself, that's all wonderful, and we're very thankful for it. But it lasts for a very short time. What lasts forever and what will last for eternity is the word of God, mm-hmm. and what he tells us and what he teaches us.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, 23. Yes.
It said, so Ruth stayed, in verse 23, so Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Okay, just in terms of timing here, as we're studying this, the barley harvest started somewhere at the end of April, beginning of May. The wheat harvest went all the way through to June. So remember, Ruth was there to get what? One meal. One single meal. And instead ended up staying months gleaning right at the center. I mean, really, the abundance of when we go to God with a heart that's humble, with a heart that's ready, just wanting to do anything we can to glean from him, anything we can get, boy, does he pour it on, doesn't he? She gleaned for 3 months or 4 months. An abundance of grace, an abundance of God's grace, because she decided to focus on Boaz and what he said to her to do.
And this here is the definition of being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Okay. Ruth heard the word. She heard the instruction and she heard the warning. The warning was, don't go to another person's, don't go to another field, because if you go to another field, you will be harmed. Just like what Dina said, Naomi was the biggest testimony of that. They left the land of Israel. They found nothing but harm, you know. And now go and stick with my women. Go stick with my people, the women of Boaz. Become one of them, you know. Remember when you said your people will be my people? Here, I am giving you the chance. Stick with other believers. Stick with people who will encourage you. Stick with people who know what to do. Stick with people who heard from Boaz specifically about you. You know that I heard about you today? Truly, I heard about you today. When I was praying for this meeting and I was praying for you by name, I heard about you today. I heard that God loves you. I heard that God has something for you. I heard that God has something to ease the pain that you have on your heart. I heard that God wants you to stick to his word and keep gleaning from it. I heard that God has amazing and great plans for you, and the enemy is trying to distract you using your current pain and my current pain. That's what I heard today. See, when Ruth goes to the women of Boaz, they already heard the report. Be careful with her. Take care of her. She belongs to us. She's one of us. She's still trying to figure it out. She's struggling right now. She's going through a lot. She lost a husband. She lost a father-in-law. She's in a new place. I get it. Your role, the woman of Boaz, the people of Boaz, the people of God, your role is to keep an eye on Ruth and to help her. Don't bother her. Let her glean. Let her work. These are Boaz's words about you and about me. These are God's words about you and about me. Until the wheat and the barley harvest is over. So your instruction could be just for this season. And you're going to think, what am I going to do next? Don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about today. Mm-hmm. Take care of today. Worry about obeying God's word today. What he's telling you today. What he's working with you this specific season. You know, just this morning, honestly, I was working out in the morning and I started thinking about, oh my God, Elijah is about to start his senior year, which means in 1 year, he's got to go to college. And then the year after, Grace is going to go to college. I'm like, do we have enough money? How are we going to, and I started thinking, and God was like, relax, Relax. Focus on your form. Don't worry about it. Just kidding. Focus on today. Focus on work today. Focus on Bible study today. Focus on what you're doing today. Don't think a year ahead. This is the season. These are the instructions for the season. Follow my people. Be close to my people. Don't go anywhere else. It's as simple as that. And then the next season, God will provide. Mm-hmm. Summary for today is, Boaz's kindness is everlasting, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus's kindness, God's kindness to you is everlasting. It is new every single morning. Tomorrow will be as good as it is today. It's not going to end tomorrow. You are not going to bankrupt the God of kindness. Seriously, his grace is going to be as much as it was today. It will be there tomorrow. It might even be a little bit more if you want to. Don't let excitement or don't let a tough season separate you from the word of God. Stay in the word of God. Stay to glean. Stay to understand. Stay to meditate. Stay to with other believers. If you have something on your heart, share it with someone. Talk to someone. Really, like this is how we're doing life together. God has sent a recommendation letter about you. Just like he sent a recommendation letter about me to my brother here on this call. Pastor Alan Delia, they led us through some of the toughest time in our lives. They led us through before we got married. We were meeting with them twice a week. That's how messed up we were. Because we needed someone to be there with us, but we needed it, and it was great for us. And they were telling us stuff about us that were like, are they talking about us? Like, is he talking about me? Because I don't see what he's talking about. Really, I don't see why he tells me to share. I don't see why he asks me to preach. I don't. But you know what? He heard a word from Boaz about me. And let me tell you, there are words about you from God. So stick with other believers and hear what God has to say about you, what God has on his heart about you. You've heard enough from the enemy. You've heard enough from the world that's controlled by the enemy. It's time for you to stick with mm-hmm. God's people so you can hear who you are truly. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So the other thing we discussed today was sort of that provoking grace that's on your life and my life, and how really it's really like it caused me today to look at myself and say, how can I ensure that God's grace is evident in my life? So let's open that up to discussion. How can I ensure that God's grace is evident in my life to other people? Remember, Ruth had 35 pounds of barley she walked up to her mother with. There was no mother-in-law. There was no denying the grace that was on Ruth's life. So let's talk about that. Is that a place of struggle? Do you wonder about that? Does someone have insight about how the grace of God can be evident on our life? Been around for a long
time. I made it.
Yes, thank you.
I will say something about it. I think it's the encounters that we have with God that he provoke us to be different in a sense of go back to the word and create in us the discipline to be with him first, like first thing in the morning, for example. So it gives us that provoking thing that we have to be in it. And then for the rest of the day, we are instruments of him.
Yeah.
With our actions, with our words, that in other people, we are influencing somehow, some way that we don't know. But I know that he is working through us to change other people. that's the grace of God that is in it. Because once we know that Jesus is in us, and it's so amazing because it's the God of love is like that. God loves Jesus, his son. We love Jesus. Mm-hmm. So automatically God loves us that much that we cannot understand. It's a big thing. How come somebody like that could love me that much? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big thing for me. I said, I don't understand, but I know that he loves me. Mm-hmm. I know that he takes care of me. And he provides, and his grace is amazing every single day. And we go through life trusting and just believing in him. That's it. Now your turn.
Give somebody else a chance.
Okay.
Until I think.
That's really great, Pastor Edwin. So what just to summarize there, he's really talking about spending time with the Lord, and that as we spend time with the Lord, as we mentioned before, the natural byproduct is this grace that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Anything else? Anyone else?
So could you phrase your question again, Gina, please?
It wasn't even me this time.
How can we ensure that God's grace on our life is evident to others?
It's evident to others, that makes them question and think like there's something different.
Provokes them, yeah.
You know, the thought that came to mind, this may not answer the question specifically and directly, but in Acts chapter 2, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, each one had a flaming tongue on top of their head. And by virtue of where it is, the individual himself or herself couldn't see it. It was only visible to the people around them. When I begin to recognize the grace of God on my own life, I'll be tempted to be filled with a little bit of pride and a little bit of look at how many reps I can do and how fast I can run and things like that.
Are you talking about someone specifically?
No. What?
It's just a friend of mine. It's not you.
General conversation.
But when other people around me begin to recognize the grace of God, by virtue of what Edwin was saying, by me spending time with the Lord and so on and so forth, I think that's what's meaningful. I'm not sure if that really answers the question the way you phrased it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I think the nature of the question is this, like sometimes that's something that just kind of leaves us stumped, right? Like how am I supposed to, you know, ensure that other people see God in me? How can they see God in me? And really the answer to that is there's really not much that you and I do on our own. It's really a direct line of our being filled by the Holy Spirit, spending time in God's word, you know, doing the basics, the fundamentals that Ruth was told to do, right? During that time, he gave her the basic list, what she should do. And because of that, it is the, as we said, the natural byproduct of that time that we spend with the Lord. You know, I also, just as a side note, know that there is evidence in my life at times of what I need to, you know, what needs to change, right? What, not the grace, but the other stuff. That happens all the time too. And sometimes that's a really good indicator in our life of, you know, I mean, I like lost my mind this weekend. I like blew up at the kids in a way. I'm just telling on myself, but like, I don't know. I'm just being honest. I just had a blow out. Okay. And I came back to Al-Salman and I said, what was that? Like, where did that come from? Well, I know where that came from. And what needs to happen is I need to go back to that inner circle to harvest, to do some gleaning in that inner part. Anybody else have anything to say? Just, it doesn't have to be that question. It could just be anything else that we discussed tonight.
I was going to kind of along with what Dina was saying, I was thinking not only the evidence that you show in other people, but in ourselves.
Yeah.
I learned these last few years to recognize when I wasn't, not that I wasn't in a relationship with God or connected with God, I was, but I was allowing other things to interfere with my walk. And I had to recognize that I needed to do something else. Mm-hmm. For example, is I felt like before, if I would spend 20 minutes, I would go and park, let's say at the school and wait for Janiel for 20 minutes or so. I would say, okay, this time is for the Lord and turn off everything. And I felt like that was enough. But then I realized that that's not what it is. It could be 5 minutes, but really good 5 minutes with the Lord. Not because I had to. So I had to learn that it wasn't the length, it wasn't how long I read or what I did. It was what I received from the Lord and tried to remember it through all the day, not only in those 20 minutes. So I felt like in this case, I wasn't showing other people, but I was teaching myself, recognizing that I needed a Jesus moment, that I needed to come to him. And maybe other people saw it as seeing me that I was in this level of anxiety or whatever. And then I come down and I recognize that. I said, wow, only in his presence is when I feel this. So not other people, but to myself. And I think that if I able to do that, I could share with other people or show other people the response that I had from being in his word.
Good.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Soraya. That's great.
But also I think that we see the grace of God in other people, not just ourselves. A good example, I will say, is Marcelo and Sandra. I can see in them that the grace of God is so amazing in their lives. I see the change.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I can see it. So even though they do not say it, but I see it.
Wow.
So that's another example of the grace of God, not only on us, mm-hmm. but in other people.
Yeah. That's very good.
I see the grace of God.
Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, I believe is a huge example of that as well. You know, she gleaned her role and she didn't care. You know, life can be as busy can be. And you know, we tend to do that. We want to do the work of the Lord. And Jesus emphasized, you know, as Martha was complaining, what she chose will not be taken away from her, you know, because she chose what meant the most. She chose what was going to satisfy not just the, you know, the everyday need, but what, you know, spirit, soul, mind, body, everything was in that place at the feet of Jesus, you know, and you can see how evident it was, the grace of God over her life, because as she reflected on him, as she gazed, as she, you know, stared, as she heard, not only just listen, but allowed the words to penetrate her heart, she poured it back. The most expensive thing that she had, she brought back to the feet of Jesus, did not care. It was worth, you know, it's a year's worth, you know, but took it and broke it at his feet. And you know what? It not only did it honor him, not, you know, and it blessed him, but God has a way of blessing us in the process. So we bless him and we come because we see how worthy he is of all of our worship, and we pour that on him. But there is no way, and that we talk about the kindness of God, and that's just one other example. we tend to say, you know, hear God, because I love you and because I desire to worship you and I'm putting my worship into action. What he says, what she did, will never be forgotten. You know, and we come before God and we're pouring out our heart and we think, and that's one of the things that we were talking about yesterday. We think that we're given, you know, to God, but God has a way of blessing us in the process. We can never outgive God, whether it's love. If we give love to people, God pours that love back. If we extend grace and mercy, he pours that grace and mercy back to us. You know, if we become a light to other people, God increases his own light. Yeah, that's how God does things in our life. You know, we talk, yeah. So that's it.
Very good.
So good. Amen.
Sandra wants to say something, or Marcelo?
I wanted to share also that what I'm noticing lately, that even though I've been going through a lot of awful things in my life, and God put you good people in your path, all of a sudden, you know, I was going through a lot of pain, and there goes Dahlia, out of blues, she sent me a text when we really needed to hear that. So I'm sorry, but I'm just going through a lot.
So good, yeah.
So I know that God has been showing me, he's been putting me a lot of good people, Christian people in my life. So I think I'll be good. In a good place, right?
And I don't think it's the people, because people are nothing. You know, it's the love of God, and he uses people. So people, if it wasn't God's love, people are just selfish. That's our nature, right? That's just who we are. It's God's love that's reaching out to you, Sandra. And yes, you're going to be more than okay. Yeah. Because God loves you, because his grace over your life, because his mercy, because his word is true, because his word never fails. Yeah. Because his promises are trustworthy, you know, and the psalm said it, and I reiterate it, we're a family that works together. You know, we're here for each other, to help each other through the process. And that's the way God intends it. That's the way God does things, you know, so more than okay. You're going to be more than okay. You're going to come out of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Remember that that grain that Ruth gleaned was that her, I mean, it became her grain, but whose grain was that? That was Boaz's grain, wasn't it? It was his grain. She became the steward of that grain. And so as we give, let's remember that we're giving out of the abundance that he first gave us. So good.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. I know we're a couple of minutes over, but thank you all for a wonderful time, a wonderful study as usual. Gosh, it's been so good the last few weeks. So let's pray. Asam and I won't be here next week for a very good reason. No, it's not that great of a reason. We're going to another Zoom.
It's with the it's an event with the company.
Yeah, we can't get out of it. We're sorry about that. But
I actually tried to leave Dina and take Pastor Mike, but they said it had
to be me. To Pastor Mike's dismay, if you watch this later, Pastor Mike, know that he tried.
I did.
But Pastor Al and Dalia will be here next week, and we will see you guys the following week. And let's pray.
Okay, Pastor Al, can you pray for us, please?
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the abundance of grain that you give to us, Lord God. When we're thinking that we, all we really deserve is to be on the outskirts, to be in the field, in the corners, as peasants, as slaves, as people who don't have the rights to anything. But you You place your eye on each of us, Lord God, and you call each of us into the center place. And you say that you have your eye on us. You've got protection for us. You've got bread for us to sustain. You've got water for us to drink. And you've got blessings over blessings, Lord God. I just thank you for the fellowship of the saints. I thank you for this reminder here tonight. I thank you for this group that's here for one another, that we could encourage each other and lift each other up in prayer, Lord God. We take every person's pain right now. Yes. Lord, every family that's represented here is going through something unique and something that they need your help with. And so we are lifting that before you right now in Jesus' name. For those that ask for healing tonight, you know them by name. We're asking for your word to be sent and bring forth that healing. For those that need encouragement, for those that need to be lifted up, for those that need a fresh perspective, whatever it is that we need, Lord God, send your word, send your healing, send your power, send your love in a way that's undeniable, so that we can learn to live in the grace of God and to express the grace of God and to grow in the grace of God. Your blessing over us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This was one.